The will of the Lord, what a nebulous thing. It'd be easy. Longest sermon I've ever preached, I believe, is 54 minutes. This one won't even come close to that. If it does, somebody get up and wave at me because there's something wrong. This should be a rather short sermon, even though I have 6 points. And it might be good if you would write down some very brief notes. And in particular, I'm going to ask 6 questions today and give a corollary statement with each question. And so if you want to jot those down, you'll have something to remember the message by. And you can throw the paper away later if you want to. For me, it just helps to write it down. It helps me to remember it. And so that's completely up to you. But understanding the will of the Lord, and I see the will of the Lord presented in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I could make this message really short and quote to you a scripture and say amen, and we'd be done. And that is, this is the will of the Lord, even your sanctification. That's what the Bible says. This is the will of the Lord, even your sanctification. And that is true as true can be. And God wants you to be sanctified. The word sanctified means made holy. So this is the will of the Lord, your holiness. And so we could say amen and be done. I would ask how many would like to do that, but I'm afraid of the number of hands that would go up. We're going to go a little bit deeper into the will of God than that, because there are many things in our life that we deal with that we really are seeking God's will on. I know when my wife was sick, we were seeking the will of the Lord. We were praying for her healing. And yet our prayer was, Lord, nonetheless, your will be done. And I believe that God's will was done. He took her home to be with himself. And I have certain areas, issues in my life right now that I'm praying with the Lord's will on. And I've talked to Mike this morning, and, you know, it seems like right now that my will is not necessarily what God's will is, but I'm still waiting on him because I want to know what the will of the Lord is. And so I'm going to share with you and preach to myself at the same time. Is that okay? On knowing the will of the Lord. Now, first of all, before I get into too much, I want to say this because I believe it's important. I believe that the will of God is a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the will of God for your life. If you need proof of that, look to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul also verifies that. He makes this statement, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made like him in death. You want to talk about the will of God? There you have it. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. That's quite a heavy prayer that Paul prayed, and it would be a heavy prayer for us to pray. And yet Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, a verse I just quoted to a lady yesterday, says this about the will of God. For I know the thoughts that I have for you. Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the thoughts that I have for you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. I like that. I like that. That is the will of God for Tim Newman's life. The thoughts of peace that God has for me and not of evil. And so even though things may not be going the way I want them to right now, God is not thinking thoughts of evil to Tim Newman. He's thinking thoughts of peace. I know the thoughts I have for you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In other words, God knows the beginning from the end, and God is working your life, his will, to give you the end that he wants you to have. And so those of you that are like me today, struggling over the will of God, realize that God knows his will for your life, and it's going to work out. Somebody say praise the Lord. It's going to be okay. I'm preaching to myself like I told you today. We all want to know the will of the Lord, and we would love to know what the expected end is. I'm going to ask you, I said 6 questions, and so the first one comes forth. Is this something, this thing that is happening to me, Is this something that will help me walk closer to God? Whether it be something negative in your life or something positive in your life, is this something that will help me walk closer to God? The first guideline that helps us understand the will of the Lord is it helps us to retain our sensibilities. Verse number 15 of chapter 5 says this: "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." Is this something that's going to help me walk closer to God? Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. We are to walk with extreme care or caution. We are not to be flippant and cavalier about our Christian life, but we're to take it very seriously. If you're here today and you don't take your Christianity seriously, I challenge you before you leave this service, make a commitment to God that you will begin to take it seriously. The word says, "See then," in the King James, "that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." To walk with care or caution means to walk accurately, to walk exactly, to walk in the right way. We frequently consult our own rule, what I want, but do we consult God's rule, what he wants? That's what God's looking for. God's not looking for me to figure out how to live my life. God's looking for me to look to him and say, how do you want me to live my life? We consult our direction in the sacred oracle, the word of God, if I might say. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, "So my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, may you continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Working out your salvation is following closely the word of God. The first question, is this something that will help me walk closer to God? The second question, is this something that is deserving of my time? Time is a precious commodity. We only get so much of it. You all know that. Ephesians 5:16, King James Version says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And then it follows by saying, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." The New International Version says, "Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Listen, God desires you to know his will. Some of you who are struggling to find God's will, as I am, realize this. God desires you to know his will. Psalms 143 and 10, the psalmist writes, "Teach me to do thy will." Maybe that should be the amen to our sermon right now, to pray the prayer. "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." God wants us to make the most of our time. Colossians 4 and verse 5 says, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsider, making the most of every opportunity." Is this something that is deserving of my time? "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." The third guideline, the third question, is this something that leads to self-control? The third guideline is the will of the Lord will enable us to exercise self-control. That's an area, and I don't want to meddle this morning. Yeah, I do. That's an area some of you need help in. I'll just say it that way. Self-control. Is this something that leads to self-control? The will of God will lead towards self-control. Ephesians 5:18 and 19 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody into your hearts." The negative aspect in verse 18, the first part, is that alcohol causes us to lose control, along with a host of other things, causes us to lose control. The positive aspect is this: be filled with the Spirit, verse 18. Have a Spirit-led conversation, the first part of verse 19. Have a Spirit-controlled heart, the second part of verse 19. Galatians 5:22, listen to what it says. You know it very well already, Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness," listen, "and self-control." and self-control. Is this, we're looking for the will of the Lord. Is this something that will lead me to self-control? Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess our text says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The next question, the fourth question, is this something that will give me a thankful heart? Ephesians 5, 20 and 21, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. When you do find the will of the Lord, it may not always at first give you a thankful heart, but do you know in the end it leads to thankfulness? Somebody say praise God. It leads to thankfulness. A thankful heart is a choice. John 7:17 says, anyone who chooses, please listen, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. And when we find out the teaching is from God, thanksgiving rises up in our heart. A thankful heart proceeds from the Father. He went away, Matthew 26, 42, Jesus, he went away a second time and he prayed, my Father, if it is not possible that this cup be taken from me unless I drink it, listen to this, may your will be done. The will of the Lord is not always fun and games and pleasant. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's hard. Your will be done. Facing what he was facing, submission could only come from the Father. So he was praying to the Father, but the submission that would come to him came from the Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. And so I ask the question in number four, is this something that will give me a thankful heart? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're on understanding the will of the Lord. The fifth guideline, the fifth question, and it's the final one here. Is this something that will enhance proper relationships? Underline the word proper there. Proper relationships. The will of the Lord will ensure proper relationships in our life. And I would love, how I wish Pastor Brian was still here. I would love to say I'm going to leave this text to Pastor Brian to talk about because it's one that is difficult. I have to be honest with you. It says, wives, I'm just going to read it, okay? How about that? I'm just going to read it and let God do the rest. Well, maybe I'll comment. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also should wives submit to their husbands in everything. That's the Bible. That's not me. Husbands, love your wife. That's your part, husbands. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water with the word, and to present her to himself. This is what you're doing for your wife, husband. You have no problem with verse 22 through 24 if this is what you're doing. To present her to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you should also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. That's pretty self-explanatory. I don't need to do a lot with that, but I can say this about it. It is the will of the Lord that there be harmony in the home. We're talking about proper relationships. When talking about the will of the Lord, is this something that will lead to proper relationships? It is the will of the Lord that there be harmony in the home. And I'm going to extrapolate just a little bit further on that when I'm dealing with proper relationships. This is not talking about necessarily relationships in the church, but I just want to say that it is the will of the Lord that there be harmony in the church. You can say amen. It is the will of the Lord that there be harmony in the church. And I sense that here. So oftentimes when the church is between pastors, sometimes there gets to be a little friction here or there, and I trust that that's not the case.